Thunder, thunder, thunder! Thunder Geeks are live! Hello, Thundarians! You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca, or streaming live at facebook.com/thundergeekspeak. That was Cybertronic Spree with Dare to be Stupid. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Chris.
And we're your Thunder
Geeks. We're your Thunder Geeks!
Welcome again to another very special episode. Of course, if this is your first time tuning in, hi, we're your Thunder Geeks. Each week we like to get together, talk about the nerdy stuff we've been up to this week, what's going on in our community, and just try to make you laugh for an hour and a half. I think we're going to get some deep in on Disney here, because everyone's freaking out about, like, all of the Marvel and Star Wars things that are announced, but, like, Disney did their huge Disney dump, which is not something they've done before. Like, they usually have, like, a giant event like D23, but this was apparently just an investors call. We're like, hey, you know what? We're just going to go... Here's the next 10 years of our plans on Disney Plus. Please pay for it now. It's hard to even know where to start, because like they announced like 20 things for both like Star Wars and Marvel. And I mean, I'm like, sure. Okay. Some of this stuff I'm excited for. Some of the stuff I'm like, I guess you could do that. I'm more excited. So it might just be me of just the stuff that Disney actually announced for themselves. And it's mostly just one. I'm still trying to see more details, but it might be a hybrid animated live action. I'm not sure, but they're rebooting Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Is it actually Andy Samberg and...
I'm going to be a total dork here, but if you've been watching DuckTales, they've actually been leading up to it in like the way background. Because they, I think in season two, they invent a gun that makes... you either super smart or super dumb. And their first test subject is Gadget.
I've missed that.
It's in the background. They're never talking about or referencing it, but they're there. You see Zipper. You see Gadget build the plane out of the stuff. She's there. She's got Zipper. She's got to meet the others.
That is fantastic.
The Disney Afternoon, like, took a lot of Disney properties and just made different sort of adventure stories with it. And that was, you know, why it sort of worked, even if it didn't really make sense for the characters. They just took it like, okay, we have Chip and Dale. They're just, you know, two little chipmunks that speak in high voices and make mischief. We're gonna turn them into Magnum P.I. and...
Indiana Jones.
It becomes a lot of fun, and I'm curious to see. So it's not just Andy Samberg, it's John Mulaney and Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
Giving them a show together, so I'm like, oh, I'm so in for this. And
yeah, I'm sold on John Mulaney.
But I told you all my favorite aspect of it when it got announced is actually not the show. It's the Russian cult that's centered around Gadget Hackwrench.
Kuba Cola.
I am dead serious. It's the craziest thing. But what they essentially believe is that all universes are real and you can will things into the universe if enough people believe. So if they gain enough followers, they will be able to manifest Gadget Hackwrench into our world. And they hold rituals and they have meetings. And there's been like random videos and pictures that kind of leak out onto the internet of just large groups of people with, you know, signs and cardboard cutouts of Gadget Hackwrench.
So, you guys know how you poke fun at me and say I'm a furry? I'm not nowhere near that. I am not part of a cult. Except for Kyle.
Well, hold on. We don't know if they're sexualizing them. They could be idolizing Gadget, which is different.
Yeah. Right? I need to look deeper into the layers of the cult, because I'm sure if I look deep enough, it's Rule 34, Kyle. It might be the entire cult, but also the cult of Gadget Hackwrench has three sects. So they have like traditional, reformed, and apocalyptic.
Andrew.
Because as every religion, as every true religion, as the cult of Gadget Hackwrench or Hackwrenchians, eventually there's a schism in the theology of their belief system. And that's where you see the separation between the sects. So you have ones, they have the original text, and you have, you know, the reformed who are more casual. And then you have the apocalyptic, which are kind of your doomsday ones that are... usually predicted.
This conversation is making
we don't know. Maybe Gadget Hackwrench is the bringer of doom.
If they open a portal and they're able to summon Hackwrench, what else is going to come through that portal, right? There's your doomsday.
Other chipmunks.
Well, Gadget Hackwrench is a mouse. We don't know. I don't think we're going to get Chip and Dale into our universe, Kyle. I'm sorry. We're not going to get Andy Samberg and John Mulaney, Chip and Dale, to transport into us unless we follow the religion of Gadget Hackwrench, because it's all based upon if we believe hard enough. So you just have like sort of like a spinoff of their religion where you can start a religion based around Chip and Dale to manifest them into our universe and channel your power through the cult of Gadget Hackwrench.
We don't,
and
like
then you'll have Russian Orthodox and Hackwrenchian, and then you'll have Chip Dalian Reformed Hackwrenchian.
I hate this.
Says the cult leader.
Kyle, if you want to start a cult, you also have to factor in the eventualities of religion. You're going to have a schism in your cult because eventually the leader passes on. So, I mean, like, when you are 900 years old and you eventually ascend into godhood as your believers, you're going to have to leave someone in charge upon Earth. And eventually, within the lineage, there will be a schism where they dispute who is the true leader of that religion.
Wait.
You need to account for that for the future, for your lineage. So you need to make sure you impose just your ideas throughout it beyond just the cult of personality. And that's how we expand Hackwrenchium into being more than just a Russian cult, but a full-blown belief system.
Well, how about, like, if enough people can will Gadget into existence, right?
Yes.
So enough people focusing could probably achieve other things. Yeah, mayhaps, rebirth.
Yes.
So if I have my followers channel enough Fabian, and I'm 900, and I, like, hit the ground, I just rise again as, like, 899, and then they have to do it every year until I'm, like, 20 again.
Nice! Yeah, that all, they would have to do it twice a year to go back, because if you're doing it every year, you would age a year and then go back, so you would be more of a groundhog day. That would perpetually bring you back to 99, but that also could be part of the story of the religious struggles to achieve 2 years with one ceremony.
No, exactly, see?
Once you first have to prove the miracle, and then you can expand upon the miracle. I'm just saying these are the important questions when Disney announces stuff, is how can we expand?
Make a cult?
How can we expand a cult?
For the Rescue Rangers.
Yes.
Specifically just Gadget.
Just Gadget?
They love Gadget.
They love Gadget, but we got to include the other ones. When you said Gadget, I was like, what does Inspector Gadget have to do with this?
Oh my gosh.
It's like, what? How'd we get here?
I'm going to be curious of who they cast for the other characters, though, because you're right, because there's not just Chip and Dale. So we have Gadget Hackwrench is coming, and then there's Monterey, and then there's the Bee, which was the one that Zipper. Hope they change. Zipper?
Yes, and he is in DuckTales flying around with Gadget. They don't talk yet.
Oh.
But they're there. I think it's because they haven't actually cast anyone.
You're going to have them... Oh, Rob, I just binged DuckTales. So I'm like, oh, apparently they're doing Darkwing Duck. I guess I'll jump back into it because I fell out for a while and I'm going to see how it goes. And now I have to watch it again. Now, specifically looking in the background details, because this was my favorite part of the Disney afternoon. Sure, they had like Goof Troop. They had the weirdest one was Tailspin, where they took characters from the Jungle Book, but they put them in planes. just because. It was just something that Disney decided to do, is we're just going to have some Jungle Book plane shows.
Yeah, I'll make the Zipper sect of the cults, and I'll make it, you know, it's like super environmental related. You know, we got to save the bees, because if we don't save the bees, we can't summon the ultimate bee, which is Zipper.
Oh yeah.
Bee cult going, Kyle.
It's a housefly.
We have to crease
Zipper's
our bees.
What?
Yeah.
Zipper's a housefly?
He's blue.
Oh, well. No, there's blue bees. There's a blue bee. I forget the exact name of it, but it is actually blue.
It hey, Kyle, do you like blue bees? Chris, what about you? How do you feel about blue bees?
Blue bees?
Hold on. Hey, Jerry, what do you think about this? Jerry's unimpressed.
I'm disappointed Jerry is not invested in blue bees. I'm interested to learn about more blue bees. Megan... Tell us about blue bees.
Well, I don't know the full thing about the blue bees, but if you imagine like a big fat honey, if you imagine like a big fat like a honey, like a bumblebee, Like a big, fat blue bee.
That's I do like big bee. Blue bees.
I love me some big blue bees.
Do the blue bees Honey ever matter? Wait, Megan, do the blue bees, like, ever, like, vary in size, or they're just only massive blue bees?
I mean, I can appreciate small blue bees, too.
Oh, this has been, like, children. 2 minutes too long.
We're just children. That's all I'm hearing.
Too long.
I mean, Chris, Chris, yeah. You, me, and Andrew are all surrounded by toys. I don't think
we get to play the adult part. I also have Jerry in the back, but, like, what's your point?
Yeah, where did Jerry come from?
Don't worry about it.
I wake up stuffed aminals. I'm 5.
Though, speaking of religion, talking about bringing it back to the Sister Act, because Whoopi Goldberg is in to do Sister Act 3. As much as I'm like, you know what, this shouldn't work, those two movies are delightful. They make gospel music fun. I just love wacky nuns for some reason.
You know what?
I'm going to say 60.
She could probably still sing. I don't think you just lose your singing stuff.
I never say anything.
Look at Dolly Parton. She's older.
I believe in Whoopi Goldberg. I think that's something that we need right now. Because, I mean, first it was saving the church, and that was saving the kids. So I hope they're saving the world. So I want them to save the world. I want apocalyptic take on Sister Act.
Hold on.
I want Mad Max Fury Road Sister Act into the Lord 3.
Are you telling me that the first Sister Act was literally just an idol girl anime, but it was like a live action about nuns?
You know, now that you mention it, Megan, that actually might be exactly why I love Sister Act 3, because they do just save their community and lift themselves up through the power of music and song. You're right, Megan. Sister Act 1 and 2 is in fact an idol anime, because the sequel is in fact a school idol anime.
Yes. I am sold. Sold. You know what? Out of all the movies that we watched, like growing up and stuff, every time that my family would watch Sister Act, I was just like not around. So I always missed out on watching the Sister Act. We had it. I could have watched it, and I just kept missing it. And it's just one of those ones where I've always wanted to watch it. And I just
we'll have to do an online watch party for the beauty of Sister Act, because you need to understand its majesty.
Did your family have repetitive viewings?
Yes, I like repetition.
You guys hang out under the blanket with popcorn and watch Sister Act for the 600th time. This like
didn't your family?
No,
Rob. Okay, so Rob, so you've seen? Have you seen Sister Act with your family multiple times?
I guess because it was on TV a lot. So
exactly, you've seen it. Would you say you've seen it more than 3 times?
I've seen the sequel more than 3 times. Absolutely. For some reason, Sister Act 2 was always on TV.
That's one thing I wanted to point out is Sister Act is one of the few distinguished series, along with like Aliens and Terminator 2, where the sequel is 100% better than the original, because that's when you had Whoopi Goldberg and the nuns go to the inner city school kids and they're like, you know what, we don't need to learn math and English, you know what we need to do, sing about Jesus to save this school. And they saved this school by just singing and expressing. You know what would have sucked if you were the one kid in class who had like no rhythm and couldn't sing?
You mean pretty much any one of us? I said and pretty much.
I was like, Andrew and I are like God level rhythm people.
Yeah, but I can't
Andrew
sing.
Can't hold a tone. I definitely can't
see,
sing gospel.
Andrew can dance. Andrew can dance. Andrew would be the one person like hanging out in the robes sing. And he would just be in the back. He would just be in the back the whole time. And then all of a sudden the breakdown would come and he would like run out from behind everybody and like do the splits. Like that's Andrew's
role. Drop for Jesus.
He's like the hype guy.
But that's
give it up for Jesus.
If Sister Act follows the theory of film, the third movie, even if the second one is better, third movie, the threequel, the trilogy, is usually the one where it falls off the rails. And that's pretty likely with the movie with the there has been very few movies with sequels that happened 20 years later that have worked. Most of the ones that have done it have followed the child story. So that's my actual prediction for what this movie is going to be. I'm going to call it now. It's going to be, you're going to have Whoopi Goldberg, and then she's going to have a daughter, and then they're going to have to
rather a daughter.
A daughter.
The thing is, you can't do children of nuns, and so that's one of the problems here with that tackling. So it only Whoopi Goldberg can have. So Whoopi and her daughter are going to have to go back and save the church again.
You have like adopted children.
I don't think nuns can adopt children, but I guess they just, you know, raise more nuns.
Yeah, you just like
They could like be more people in charge of a.
Yeah, they just become like head
nun teachers.
Well, indoctrinated.
Yeah, I'm going to guess some of the nuns have passed on. Only the youngest. I should check if these actresses are actually still alive or not, because
aren't some of them like 80?
I'm guessing Mother Superior is probably passed on because she was like 80 in Sister Act 2.
Aw.
I hope.
I honestly don't know how nunneries work, but I'm pretty sure like
I know nothing.
You go there, plug Jesus into you, and you wear a funny hat.
I know that there was like back in the day, it was like very prominent where like nuns would help run an orphanage, and if you wanted to continue doing the teachings and everything, you would become a nun, and then that's how you would, you know, continue in the nunnery. Otherwise, it would be like a more disciplinary thing where if you were like not doing well, you would get sent to the nunnery for a little while to kind of rectify your behavior, and then you could like either leave, or some people just continue staying there depending on if they like it or not.
You did spark inspiration in me, Megan. Yeah, I think you touched on something that it might be as well, is if they're going to keep the story grounded, which they likely will because it's Sister Act. So they've saved the church, they saved the school. The way you up it for the threequel is they save the orphanage.
Yes. Sold.
Save the kids. At what point do they throw the kids at the demons, defeat them before going into the giant hole?
I think we're going to have to wait till Sister Act 5 until that happens. Sister Act 5, they're just going to say, you know what? We're just going to go for it. Whoopi Goldberg's going to be CGI'd like Jeff Bridges in Tron, and we're just going to have her flipping around, and she's going to have like a Jesus scream, and it's going to be like the apocalyptic version of it.
I would be good at Mad Max style. Oh, go for it, Rob.
Sister Act 5, all hell breaks loose.
That's like,
I believe in Whoopi.
Sister Act 5, like Ash from the Evil Dead shows up and he's just like, oh gosh, things are bad.
Groovy. Can Bruce Campbell sing?
Probably not.
He probably can't sing very well, but he probably does sing.
He can Bruce Campbell it sing. Like he'll sing.
He can Bruce Campbell it.
He'll sing very manly.
I feel like he has enough confidence that if he had the mind to, if he had a mindset on it, he could probably do anything.
I don't have the heart to tell it. So if Bruce Campbell can't sing, I don't have the heart to tell him. I will tell Bruce Campbell, you have a magnificent voice and you should be in everything. You can be in a musical. Who cares? You're Bruce Campbell.
You're Bruce Campbell.
That's just how he's like gotten his acting career.
I remember he was doing an interview when he was asked about the Evil Dead musical. Two things I remember from that interview is the guy who plays Ash in the musical hates Bruce Campbell. Not for any like mean reasons, but he's like, oh, you only had to cut off your hand once. I've had to do it 2 times a day, every day, the rest of my life. And Bruce Campbell openly says, I can't carry it too. And this guy's awesome.
They actually announced an Evil Dead video game, which is coming around, which I'm pretty stoked for, not gonna lie.
Might have to kick open Chris's door with a copy of the game and be like, we play this now. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Is it gonna be Bruce voicing Ash in the video game?
He was like talking it up a while back, so I'm assuming it is going to be him. Fantastic. Doing the voice. I would hope so. I would really, really hope so.
I can see.
I don't
him
have
still
super high hopes
game.
For it, but I'll buy it for just the camp of it, or just for the because.
I mean, what in the Evil Dead franchise has ever been not good?
That is totally fair.
The reboot spinoff?
Actually, it was really good.
Oh no!
No, I mean like the one in reboot.
Oh. No, that's actually what got me into the Evil Dead franchise, so I can't complain about it because it was the door that opened me to the beauty of Bruce Campbell.
And low-key, for me as well, Rob, did you have this as well when they announced the Evil Dead video game? Immediately I thought of, you know, I've wanted to do this since that episode of Reboot, because that's how I discovered Evil Dead, was because of that episode. That was the episode right after Bob left too as well.
Yep.
We dealt with their trauma of having Bob ejected into the web through Evil Dead. Thanks, Mainframe. I know you didn't intend that, but wow.
I just remember like I was watching that episode. My sister comes in the room and says, "Oh, they're making fun of Evil Dead. What's Evil Dead?" One trip to the video store later and all three copies, because the video store near our house was $3, three movies, 3 days. So, of course, getting all three, watching them over the weekend, I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. 25 years later, I still watch that franchise on a regular basis.
Something that I'm happy as well is when Disney bought Fox, Disney could have just ignored all of the properties that they had just bought, because that does happen a lot of times when companies are acquired, is they focus on just the couple of super profitable ones and they forget like the plethora of what made that company profitable before. I mean, I was never super into Ice Age, but they're continuing to do that. But they also gave Sunny 4 more seasons. And that makes me really, really happy. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that. I'm actually surprised that they're giving them more, considering what Sunny and Always Sunny in Philadelphia is like dealing with a lot of the time.
More Danny DeVito. That's what life demands.
The show is just consistently
funny.
Funny. It's just
hilarious.
It's just funny. I haven't like ever. It makes me laugh. I'm happy Disney's like, hey, you know what? You guys are just super successful, so we're not just going to go season for season. Like, how about four? You guys got four more in you? Like, we got four more in you, and we'll see how we go from there.
There has to be an episode in one of the new seasons called The Game Gets COVID.
There
has
to. Oh, no.
Oh. So I was watching trailers because, you know, that's what I do, and I found a trailer for a movie called Songbird. It's COVID-23 the movie.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I what's it?
Here's the thing.
Okay, so how?
Okay, so COVID mutates and they have to like lock down to an extreme level where the few people who are immune pretty much have to do running between every business. They're pretty much like DoorDash on steroids.
Oh.
And
so it's like Death Stranding.
It's kind of like a DoorDash like apocalyptic scenario.
And every morning when you wake up, you have to do a facial scan and like takes your temperature and all that. And if they say you got it, they take you to a camp.
Yikes.
And the guy who runs the camp
is... Don't let conspiracy theorists find it. They'll think that it's prophecy.
And the guy who runs these camps is... And I can't remember the actor's name. I know one of the Skarsgårds, the older crazy one who was in the video game we played. He was the bad guy in John Wick.
You're most familiar with the Skarsgårdians, Megan.
Skarsgårdians of the Galaxy.
Wait. In that one video game we played, which one do you mean?
Until Dawn.
That's Peter Stormare.
Oh, no. That's Peter Stormare. He's not a Skarsgård.
He's not even a Skarsgårdian. I mean, that's a Stormarian.
That's a Stormarian. Sorry. No, that's okay. That's okay. He's a great actor. I love him. Yeah. He's scary, man.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. But there's one thing I saw in the trailer that kind of made me go, oh, this is going to be a bad movie, even though they make it look good. Produced by Michael Bay.
Ah, yes!
Okay, so here's what it's going to be. It's like, it's not going to be a movie you go to see the story. We're just going to see a lot of things explode. You know what you're getting when you go to a Michael Bay movie. Like, you can't really... I can't complain about it because I'm like, man, those are great explosions. What can I say? Honestly, I'm not saying it's intelligent, but it's kind of awesome.
It if just Peter Stormare is in anything, I will pay money to see that man act crazy.
But here's the thing you got to think about. Most movies take between a year and 18 months from beginning to end. The movie's already done now.
Oh,
how?
Because Michael Bay has a lot of money.
We already had like COVID zombies.
But see, those are like low budget kind of movies. This is an actual studio, an actual good team.
Okay, you just said Michael Bay.
I say good with air quotes. these are people who are paid to do this and don't just do it because they want to. I'm kind of curious how it's going to look. Because here's the thing: for the most part, every scene where you see a character, there is no one else sharing a scene with them. Most of the conversations are between our main female lead, who is, you know, stuck in her apartment because of the virus, and our main male lead, who is a person who's immune, who does the bike running, and they're talking over the phone. You see Peter Stormare find out the girl might be infected, and you see him, like, outside the door through, like, the pinhole point of view, and he's just being all kooky and crazy.
honestly, this is a really interesting way to do filmmaking, considering everyone is kind of like trying to social distance. I think it could work.
If it's on Netflix, I'll watch it, but I might not probably give it money.
It's going to be like the fourth in my queue. We need to head to our next break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
Here on Thunder Geeks, we like to talk about mature things, like comic books and cartoons, and some of the music we listen to contains mature language as well, so listening discretion is advised.
The bitch, cause I'm sick of screen flickering. Jiggle yellow plug, pull it out and stick it in again harder. Not the Emma ever make my nerves get stirred. Yell some curse words if I can let the bird flip. She been a mainstay for 8 years of gameplay. Game day sprayed with beer on the top, sits an ashtray. Have to say, I could have treated her better. Sentimental for a second, girl, I won't forget ya. But no, I'm not ready, let you go. Apply the CPR, whack it, gotta get the glow from the red light. Mate says it's overdue, she's dead right, but I can't accept it. Don't die on me tonight, girl. Crack the case as I frantically resuscitate. Bust and break the body like Gotti for some real estate. I gotta face the fact, you're not coming back. Just breathe, man, no need to make a suicide pact.
Why did my system gotta die when my visitors and I got some business with it tonight? Trying to fix it and revive it, I'm leaving almost crying. I'm feeling so frustrated, I was waiting tonight that it's finished. I'm applying my fist to it, I'm fighting the feeling. Finna bring it out the window, might have the digit, cause the life of my system has expired, but I'm still trying to fix it.
Take the cartridge out the console, blow into the back. The ranger got my back when the screen goes black. Panic attack is that, cause it isn't lit and it's simple. I'll push the game down and wiggle it from the middle. Jiggle in the coax, I hope that this shit works. Even if it doesn't, I will kick and I'll curse. Motherfucker, goddamn it, fucking work, you piece of shit. My daddy banging on the door, hey dog, you want your ass kicked? Sorry, dude, I'll keep it down, we gotta go to Walmart. This damn thing is broken and we gotta buy new parts. Your mama bought you that in 86, you ungrateful little shit. It's been 10 years working great, just get over it. I'm hella pissed, playing. I'm moving an inch. If the cord moves a little bit, I will throw a hissy fit. Television got no picture. Is this worse as it gets? I bitch snap the TV and the system reset.
Why did my system gotta die when my business and I got some business with it tonight? Try, fix it and revive it. I'm leaving almost crying. I'm feeling so frustrated. I was winning tonight and it's finished. I'm applying my fist to it. I'm fighting the feeling. Finna bring it out the window. Might have the digit cause the life of my system has expired. But I'm still trying to fix it.
I hit the power.
power button, see the red and the green. Unfortunately, I know exactly what this means. Hey, oh, not now. It worked all week. I can't give service. This thing's an antique. Jiggling the plugs, blowing out the games. Nothing is working and it's driving me insane. Just got the game genie. Can't even use it. Someone dropped my system. I'm about to lose it. Playing mad scientist and opening it up. Don't know what I'm doing, but I don't give a fuck. Desperation and aggravation drive me further. Dedication to my system is unheard of. Please, baby, please, come on, just work. Come on, there's no response. I'm about to go berserk. Time to head to eBay just to get another $400. Mother.
Why did my system gotta die when my business and I got some business with it tonight? Trying to fix it and revive it. I'm leaving, almost crying. I'm feeling so frustrated. I was waiting in the night and it's finished on the fly. And my fist to it, I'm fighting the feeling. Fling it out the window. Might have the digit cause the life of my system has expired. But I'm still trying to fix it. Why did my system gotta die when my business and I got some business with it tonight? Trying to fix it and revive it. I'm leaving, almost crying. I'm feeling so frustrated. I was waiting in the night that it's finished on the fly. And my fist to it, I'm fighting the feeling. Finna fling it out the window. Might have the digit cause the life of my system has expired. But I'm still trying to fix it.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was the 8-Bit Boys with Faulty Console.
All right, Andrew. All right. Speaking of trailers.
Yeah?
We had the Game Awards.
Yeah, we did.
We had trailers.
We had trailers.
We have a lot of trailers.
Did you see Vin Diesel, though? Did you see Vin Diesel? Hey, guys, they got Vin Diesel. Did you guys see Vin Diesel?
No, I've
he's
seen
an arc,
none
he's an arc two. So far. He's an arc he's two, an arc and they two. Got Vin Diesel, and he's in the game. Did you see Vin Diesel, though? He's there, and he's in the game.
Is Vin
he's,
Diesel Vin developing Diesel. The game?
No, but he's in it. Did you see that they got Vin Diesel?
I don't.
I'm sorry, but the trailer for Ark Survival 2 was literally just like a constant shots of Vin Diesel's face being like, hey, look, we got Vin Diesel. Hey, check it out.
Do you know where they got it from? Have you seen the game Cyberpunk 2077 and its main character, Keanu Reeves?
Hey, guys, did you see we got Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, hey, Keanu look, Reeves. Guys, you're breathtaking. Guys.
I'd be so okay. I'd be more excited though, not just having Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel had a game studio for a while, and they actually made some pretty great games.
Facts.
Okay, so I have a list. We're gonna go through.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we have the new Super Smash Brothers character.
Oh my gosh! I was screaming Sephiroth. At the TV.
Killed Mario.
No, he did.
All screaming at the TV. So did, you know the scene where it?
Did they do it through the back?
They did the Aerith scene where they like held him up through the.
But he didn't stab Mario. He just like holds him through his overall straps.
You know,
it's so good.
You know who doesn't sound fair? The guy with the 10-foot lightning fast sword.
Can summon meteors. It's fine.
And turn to his final form.
You know what I didn't think was fair? The character who could build a stage on the stage, but here we are with Minecraft Steve.
And Alan. And Enderman.
I will still annoy all of you with Rob until I make every single person turn to me and yell, "Damn it, Rob, stop!"
But then I just have to put down the blocks. You throw some dirt down and then that's it.
We'll see.
Block away.
I'll make you rage at me.
You block away?
So, Andrew, we have... Oh, by the way, it's the year 2020. We have the trailer for the game Perfect Dark.
Oh.
Yes!
Is it rare?
They're bringing her back!
It's Xbox.
Is it
on
rare?
Xbox.
Rare is
probably
owned by
not.
Xbox.
Rare is owned by Xbox.
I know Rare is owned by Xbox, but like they kind of forgot about them for a while as they were just designing their rip-off of the Miis that no one cared about after a month. Rare did that for a while.
From Perfect Dark, we have the 4-second trailer for Mass Effect, which was the most important thing of this whole event. It showed someone walking for 3 steps and everybody was like, guys, this is it, Mass Effect. I don't care about the rest of the Game Awards. I was like, what? You didn't even get anything. It just said Mass Effect is coming back. I don't care about this one.
It said Mass Effect will continue.
Will
it's like,
continue?
Oh, wow. There we go, guys. You're going to get it. Eventually.
I saw like 10 people posts and like tagging each other, like this big circle jerk. People who were like, Mass Effect.
I was like, oh my gosh.
We have the one that you might be interested in, Andrew.
Yes.
Back for Blood.
So, oh, yeah, Back for Blood.
Back for Blood is made from the people who made Left 4 Dead.
I don't know, because Evolve sucked.
Do you like 20-foot tall zombies?
I do.
There are 20-foot tall zombies.
Okay, is it just a zombie game, or is it something that's more, like, is it a cooperative game? Because that's been their brand.
I think it's just a zombie thing again.
Oh, I mean, like, is it first person? Is it multiplayer? Like, what's the setup of it? Did it show? Or is it
just... I think there was a gameplay trailer. I didn't see much of it, though.
Okay, I'll have to look more into it, because that's Turtle Rock.
Yeah.
I loved Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, but I loved it because of the gameplay mechanic and how they had you cooperate. You could still play Left 4 Dead with other people if they didn't have a headset, but you wanted people with the headset. Part of the problem split with Evolve screen. And split screen. Evolve came out so early, most people didn't have headsets for Xbox, and it was a game that required a lot of cooperation and a lot of nuanced cooperation, and it ended up not working because Left 4 Dead worked because you can just pick up and go. It wasn't that complicated. Yeah.
So from there, we have Vin Diesel, I mean Ark 2, with a photo of Vin Diesel. As you can see.
With a photo of Vin Diesel. They got Vin Diesel, though.
He got Vin Diesel.
You see? You see Vin Diesel? It's got After Vin Blood Diesel shot, in
he
it.
Kinda, he's kind of meh to me.
It's Vin Diesel. we have the next Dragon Age one. It's also announced, but nobody cares about that.
Apparently. This one I'm excited for. This is the only game I play.
They announced the new map for Among Us.
Oh, the Henry Stickmin one?
The airship?
Yeah, it's Henry Stickmin.
I don't know what that is.
I think that the only two games that I was really excited at seeing, well, there was actually three. There was one where it's like a Groundhog Day sort of game. I can't remember the name of it, but it's literally like, it looks like how Control plays, but it's in space. So it's like you shoot stuff constantly, and if you die, you have to restart. It's like Rogue style. And then there was, of course,
Endless Dungeon.
Not Endless Dungeon. This one is a third-person shooter. I can't remember what it's called for the life of me. But the other game that I was interested in was called Scarlet Nexus. Now, this is the most weeby thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's literally what I said to the chat. I was like, dude, there's a trailer playing right now that is the weebiest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, but it looks good. They got that Funimation. They got that Funimation studio voice acting money.
The Earl Cigarettes made a song for it.
I know it's edgy, but it looks cool.
Okay, Megan. Exactly.
I want a bunch of it's red so strings edgy, stuck me. In the back of my head. I always choose Matrix Head Jack.
Exactly. Megan. Yes.
You really going to sit there and tell me that you didn't think about Evil West?
I love the idea of Evil West. I saw it, and I was watching the trailer, but it's all
sick. Dark like, Fantasy's Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's like if it's a top-down shooter sort of style, like strategic gameplay, though, I'm totally out. If it's a third-person shooter, I am so in. But right now, from the trailer, I don't know a whole lot about it, so I'm just gonna kind of like put it to the side and like kind of admire it for the time being, because this is exactly what happened with Mutant Year Zero.
Okay, Chris,
see,
did you play Fall Guys at all during season 2?
No.
Okay, so the new season starts in 2 days.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got 7 more levels.
Right, you're going to see like 2 of them.
I saw like none of the other ones, so I don't really care. This is my personal...
Fall Guys is fantastic. Sorry, Fall Guys is fantastic because you can't even be... You can't game or rage and quit at that game. Like, it's just
oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
If you are rage quitting at this game, you should just quit gaming. Get out of here.
No, you can... You can 100% rage quit at that little thing.
Fight me instead. Come on down to my place and fight me, man.
All right, Andrew. This is my favorite announcement. Warcraft. So we have the trailer for Master Chief coming to Fortnite, which also involves the Walking Dead Red versus Blue. And by the way, don't forget Ninja. Ninja's also here, and he's in Blood Gulch, which is available now if you want to play, alongside the Mandalorian, which you can now collect Beskar steel plates to upgrade your armor as the Mandalorian, or go back and play as any of... Oh, by the way, we beat Galactus by driving battle buses into it. So that happened.
Excuse me, Kratos? I'm sorry, but you know what Fortnite does not have? Do you know what they don't have? They don't have Vin Diesel, okay?
They have Kratos.
But they don't have Vin Diesel.
They do have Groot.
Which is Vin Diesel.
They have Groot.
Oh, okay, never mind. They got Vin Diesel, though.
I just...
They got everything. We're going to watch an episode like a trailer for Fortnite. We're going to see a Thunder Geeks logo in the background and be like, what?
Hey, we're in Fortnite.
It's just everything now. I mean, it's like Lego. Fortnite is just Lego now.
They went from the, like, normal
everything
one.
Everything gets to be Lego. Everything gets to be Fortnite. Okay. We'll have Fortnite DC soon.
Andrew. So
they had that already, too.
I don't know if you saw it, but, like, the Galactus event is where Galactus shows up and starts sucking the 0 point from Fortnite, which, by the way, is Fortnite universe energy. So as he's doing this, Iron Man shows up. Holy crap. And you get to fly a jetpack. And then eventually a battle bus, and then the battle bus, Galactus eats the battle bus. You and 3 million other people are riding the trail. Thor's there, by the way. Do you like Thor? So after this happens, Galactus just disappears. All of the Marvel people stop caring, and now we have the Mandalorian.
Can we go back to when Fortnite was just Jonesy sitting on deserted island eating a banana?
Yeah,
and then the banana turned out to be like his best friend or something. Peely? Can we just go back to that instead?
No, Megan, we have to have Jonesy waking up and gathering the greatest hunters from around existence to come defend the 0 point once again from something. The Seven, I think it's called. There's seven hunters in Fortnite, which are coming to destroy.
I actually learned a tidbit of information that I thought would be interesting for Kyle to know. There's a prominent person in the metal community that is so into World of Warcraft that it sickens me. This person is known as Corpse Grinder, the lead singer of Cannibal Corpse.
Oh yeah.
They have a Hordes tattoo, the same tattoo as you. They have the same tattoo.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did not know any of this.
Hey, Megan. So I've seen Cannibal Corpse when they come to the Black Pirates.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And did you talk to Corpse Grinder about the Horde and how they're amazing?
We've seen each other and our Horde tattoos.
I hate you so much.
I just want to circle back on Corpses because I'm sorry I doubted anything, Kyle. Back for the Blood is essentially Left 4 Dead 3, so I'm so excited.
It's literally just Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, no, they kind of allude to it. It's like, it's Left 4 Dead 3. We just have to technically change the copyrights of the things, but it's going to be playing the same, where it's a multiplayer cooperative campaign story, and then you're just going to switch sides for the multiplayer, which is what made it fun. Hell yeah, I'm in.
Well, we had the Evil West space one. And we had Fortnite. Bunch of crap nobody cares about. The Swedish chef is coming to Overcooked.
What's Overcooked?
It's a game where you make food.
It's like Hell's Kitchen the game.
Oh, I've only seen the cooking simulator game.
Hey, Andrew, you want to know why the Game Awards sucks?
The Game Awards sucks every year, Kyle. Nobody likes Jeff Keighley.
Wait, no. I tried so hard to get that Jeff Keighley Among Us mask that was available for 30 minutes so that I could be Jeff Keighley every time I play Among Us.
You know why we would only make it available for 30 minutes? Because only
could you imagine being
people mad at them will play Among Us as Jeff Keighley.
One second. Okay, so do you know why Jeff Keighley made the Game Awards?
So he could sell Jeff Keighley Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley basically made the Game Awards so he could possibly hang out with Hideo Kojima. And now Hideo Kojima is banned from the Game Awards. And ever since then, Jeff Keighley has been so depressed. Every year he does this, you could just see the life leaving his body every single year more and more because he can't hang out with Hideo Kojima.
Do you know why Hideo Kojima got banned from the Game Awards, though? It's because Hideo Kojima was a Dr. Pepper man.
Okay, so anyways, as I was going to say, there are two things that came out of this that mattered.
Here comes the salt.
Oh, Megan knows. Prepare. We have Valkyrie winning Content Creator of the Year, which was great. I have no idea who the other four people were except for Tim the Tap Man, but that was only because Among Us was
Fall Guys.
Fall Guys was popular for like
a hot minute.
A month.
During the voting period.
It was great. Secondly, The Last of Us 2 is not Game of the Year.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It paid the most money, Kyle.
It paid the most money.
That's how you become game of the year. Is just make the most money so you can pay most money. So now they get here, release the game of the year edition, and it's like the special editions for Star Wars.
The streams that I was watching, like I was watching Critical, I had his open. I had the Game Awards open because I wanted that Jeff Keighley mask. Wanted it. And it won, and all you see is through, like, Charlie's chat, all of the chat in the Game Awards was just anger. So everybody was like, this did not deserve it. It deserved things like audio. Audio was phenomenal.
It had some good acting.
It had some great acting. But you know what it was? The same game from 10 years ago. So why is it winning the award now?
Same game.
I would have given it to, like, Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima was great. I wanted Hades to win because it was an indie game, and that would have been great. And Hades is a great game.
Anything else? Just not Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2.
Hey Kyle, can you name a game where you've been satisfied with who won?
1993. He was too young to remember.
No, they didn't have a game award. Hold on. I think it started with Spike.
Last
TV,
year, when God of War won Game of the Year.
That was 2018.
There you go. 2018. There you go.
But game, there's more than just the game. There's more than just the game of the year, because sometimes the best game does win game of the year. But then there's usually like five other categories where you're like, "What? No!" But that studio paid more money.
Okay, so like Sekiro, yeah, I can see it. I don't think it should have won, but it did. God of War is one of the greatest games that has ever been created on planet Earth, so of course that was able to win.
Halo.
There's nothing wrong ever in that entire franchise. We have The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Andrew, how's that going?
I never finished it, but I'll admit it was a phenomenal game.
Fantastic game. I've also never going to finish it.
We have Overwatch.
I guess?
You're a Blizzard boy.
When Overwatch came out, it was extremely
It was great. High. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We have The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I agree is one of the greatest games ever created. Yeah. And Dragon Age Inquisition, which also was a great game. And then we have The Last of Us 2, which was not a great game.
Wasn't even a good game. It was a game.
Well, it's like one of these things.
Not like the other.
Okay, one of these things just makes game of the year, best game direction, best narrative, audio design, and Abby won performance, even though I'm pretty sure everybody hated her. Yeah. Innovation and acceptability, best action adventure game.
Hey, best debut game is one you enjoy.
Phasmophobia. Yeah. You know, like some of the. I don't even know what Tell Me Why is, but.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Can we punch him?
Tell Me Why was like a movie, basically, where you had to. Like, it's like, I think.
You have to tell him why.
Sorry. I know what Tell Me Why is, but I can't, like, really recall it.
Among Us won best multiplayer game.
That makes sense.
I mean, the thing that most people watch the Game Awards and other gaming-related things for is, like, trailers and stuff like that, and they're a good ones.
And that's the thing is that, like, the part about the Game Awards... So, no one watches the Game Awards for the awards. You watch the Game Awards to find what's coming out for in the next few years.
Yeah, so that's what we were watching that through, and I was like, you know what, trailers weren't the worst, but, like, it's nothing... It's no Cyberpunk. There's no, like... Big Cyberpunk.
But everyone's mad at Cyberpunk. That's the only thing that I've heard about. They are mad.
Why? Because it took them 8 years to develop a game that doesn't work on PS4 or Xbox One.
And runs your CPU to 100% on PC.
Even though it was developed for Xbox One and PS4, it doesn't run on it.
It works on PC though, right?
If you have a good PC.
Oh no.
Which don't you?
I would probably run it at like low.
I'm running it on Ultra, and my CPU is roaring.
What's the issue? So, like, why can't it run on anything?
Here's the thing. You can run it on PS4 and stuff like that, right?
Will the PS5 remaster that's inevitable be better?
It's available for PS5, too.
Does it work on PS5?
Yes.
Okay, so it just doesn't work on the old consoles.
So here's the thing, though, is it looks like Grand Theft Auto, like, 2.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
It looks like some characters don't have faces that like load in. It's just like two polygons back to back of like different shades.
And, like, so it looks like Fallout New Vegas, And then what they promised us was what people do with the mods on computers for Fallout New Vegas. So everyone is like super clean and photoshopped and like super pretty eyes and like they're not like dirty and gross all the time. And then now we get Fallout New Vegas textures on a PlayStation 4 like next gen sort of style game. Like it's bad. It's very, very bad. It is not what they promised us, that's for sure.
Okay, so here's what, like, I watched a couple people started streaming, like Crunch started playing it, Tane was playing it, Critical, all that sort of jazz. Watch Jesse. I watched like six different people start this game, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever, Chris played it? You played Deus Ex, right?
Yeah.
It just looks like Deus Ex.
Yeah. No, even with
it's a shiny Deus Ex, a game that's been in a franchise that's been going for like 20 years. This game shows up and it just looks like that. And everybody's like, this is the greatest game that's ever been existed. And I'm like, no,
a lot
it's
of
not.
People seem to want Cyberpunk 2077 to be their new religion because the hype for this game was massive.
Probably the biggest I've ever seen for a video game.
Yeah, like the people who were invested in this game were in. Like they were ready to go Johnny Mnemonic and start having wet hardware just plugged into their brain so they can turn themselves into Cyberpunk 2077.
And someone came up to me and said, you can have arm blades? Yeah, I'm super in.
Arm plates?
Arm blades.
Arm blades. Oh, you're a very like simple man.
Blades. I was going to say, Chris,
simple
like
man
the...
with simple needs just need some arm blades. Ching, ching.
On a side note, on like arm blades, I started Valhalla, of course. Like I'm like 3 hours in or something like that. I don't know. Sailing around on boats, singing sea shanties to Norse people. That's all, that's all I care about. But then they like the two assassin guys,
the hidden ones,
have the best scenes I've ever seen in a game. Where number one, the little assassin dude tries to jump the big Viking guy. I'm not pronouncing their names, by the way, because they're all like super Norse and like
Sven.
Yeah, no, it's like they slapped a keyboard with like six V's in the middle of it and called it a day.
For and laughing, then,
like, they're
right.
Walking around and they're like, "That's a Fargan Flarbin," and you're like, "All right,
Volgan Borkin."
All right, so here we go. Anyways, so that guy chef. Like jumps out to like stab him. You know, professionally trained assassin that's been doing this for his like entire existence, and this is his only goal is to kill this guy. Jumps out. Gets grabbed by the Viking, yeeted super hard into the wall, and the fight continues where we left off.
No, he was still in training.
There was no remorse for this young fellow who just got his head cracked against the wall at Mach 10 from a 6'12" Viking. So that was funny.
Not in England yet.
And then they like hand you the hidden blade thing. Your character just like puts it on like a bracelet, and they're like, it goes under your arm, and it goes on the bottom. And your character's like, no, you guys lost a finger from putting it on the bottom. I'm going to put it on the top. It looks pretty. And the assassins people, the guy's like, stop. Our religion's not a joke. And your character's just like, it's a blade. I like to stab people. And I'm like, this is the best. I love this character already because your character is not a good dude.
that's a statement, Kyle. That is definitely a statement. I like this character because he is not good.
Your character in Cyberpunk, the worst. Your character's a massive dink.
Keanu Reeves?
That was before Silverhand.
No, Keanu Reeves is like in your head.
Oh, so you're not Keanu Reeves.
No.
You're becoming Keanu Reeves.
He's like implanted. You remember the Black Mirror episode where they like put someone's conscious into somebody else's head?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that. So it's like that.
No, it's literally just that.
It's literally that. Where
it's the movie Upgrade.
Almost, except Johnny's just like sitting around. Like you can see him, you can talk to him, you can like interact, but he's not there.
I mean, and that's going to be tough. If you have Keanu Reeves next to your character the whole time, how can you ever look like a good person next to Keanu Reeves?
I don't know. You could spend 12 hours on the character creator.
Did you just give yourself a 13-inch dong?
Oh, yeah. So that's the other issue with the game. People are having dong issues. So... Yeah, that was never something that we assumed was going to happen.
But I thought Rob was joking. Can you explain to me the dong issues?
Okay, so one of the big features that everybody was excited about was you were able to customize the size of your dong.
You were able to
make it big flopper donger, or you could have like a little pencil wiener, and you can continue on with your life. So the issue is now is that people's clothing isn't containing said dongs. So as they're walking around, they're just like a floppy dong hanging outside of their pants. Or like for the women, their boobs are hanging out, like sticking through their shirt, like they cut a hole in it. So they're just walking around with like titties flapping in the wind.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, exactly. As everybody's like, this is the game issues we're having, is that this character's dong is like flopping around.
I think Andrew just found his new favorite bug.
I'm waiting for the Fuda mod.
Like, here's the thing though is, like, people were iffy on Twitch. They were like, are we allowed to show this? Like, this is part of the game, right?
Yeah.
Is this terms of service?
Oh no.
Critical had like full dong. He like opened his menu and it was just like, like a curvature 6 foot long, like flopping monster of a wiener.
Like, the Moby Huge on the man.
Legitimately, the man like built himself a Moby Huge on his character. And like, I just looked over and I'm like, oh.
This is not the blog I was expecting inside of Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
Why are people complaining again?
Because it's been like 8 years of delays for a game that's still filled and riddled with bugs. So that bad.
Kyle, that doesn't sound like a bug. That sounds like a feature.
Like, hang dong?
If you're going to give your character a 6 foot dong, it's assumably because you want to see it. I'm saying no, that's a feature. That is built in to the game.
If you ever want just like to progressively know where the maturity level of like all of the gamers are at that are excited for things, they literally released a dong slider. And that was it. The whole game didn't matter from that point on. Like, this was the most hype game that's ever existed. You could change the level of your dong. The future is now.
And like, change the level of your dong, but you can't change your hairstyle when you're in the game. Like, what's with that?
No haircuts.
Yeah, apparently there's no haircuts or like GTA level 30. Yeah, there's like a tattoo. I mean, I loaded up Valhalla and got like head to tail tattoos because I'm a Viking, of course.
Of course.
Of hit keyboard random letters sphinger blurgen. Yeah, those are my tattoos. So there was just a bunch of stuff I watched a lot of play footage now of like Cyberpunk from people having like high-end computers, like these thousands of thousands of dollars worth of machinery. They're like, the game's great, it runs great. And then I watched a TikTok of a man who blew up his laptop from loading in Cyberpunk 2077 on Ultra. He's like, guys, watch this. And he started clicking everything up to like the highest difficulty or like graphic setting. And you hear his laptop just start clicking, and it's like, and I'm like,
run.
You're about to blow up your laptop with a video game.
Nice.
You can customize your dong on. He must have made it too big.
Yeah.
Well, now let's be fair. There's no such thing as too big.
And you can't even like customize. Like, I would want more customization because not all dongs are the same shape or size.
Can you pick if you're cut or uncut?
Yeah, Megan makes a good point. A slider isn't enough.
Customize the curvature so much that it just wraps around your leg.
Can I choose what shape it is? Like, can I choose it to be tapered near the hilt more? Can I choose that it be like banana shaped? Like, is it just straight out of narrow?
You know what?
Can I choose the angle of the dangle?
You know what?
What I want to know.
Can we FOMOTE it?
I've never thought of the hilt on my my dong.
Sorry.
I've never thought of the hilt on my dong.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Unsword. Okay.
Can I choose which way, like, the pubic hair grows? Like, can I choose it to be, like, totally straight? Can I choose it to be curly? Like, can put I have some, it crimped?
Yeah. Or, yeah, you know, like...
One testicle always hangs lower than the other. Can you decide which testicles hang lower? Can you make them perfectly balanced? Can you give yourself an extra one?
And just listen, write a strongly worded letter to the people who run...
Yeah, Slider is
a CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red.
We need more options with our dong.
Every dong is delightful.
Facts.
Can restart the game.
We need to head to our last break here, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks. Brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. So, Megan, let's get down to business to discuss Mulan.
Mulan.
How'd you feel about it? Did you think it was fun?
How long did you work on that, Andrew?
Like 20 seconds ago when we had this discussed. I'm going to give myself a C+.
That was pretty decent. I enjoyed that. I always enjoy when you make up random, like, make up lyrics to songs. It's fantastic.
You know what I was missing from Mulan?
Everything.
Songs.
I enjoyed the movie. It wasn't like I was like over the moon about it, being like, "Wow, this film is amazing. This is the best thing I've seen in decades." But it was a good film. Like I enjoyed it. They started off the movie with Mulan chasing a chicken on the rooftops, and then they ended it the same way.
I guess they did. You know what, Megan? I missed that. I guess they had symbolism with Mulan chasing a chicken and then the giant chicken at the end that was just...
Giant chicken.
Just there for
the
some
giant
reason.
Giant chicken.
Was it a chicken or a rooster?
No, it was Star Wars.
It was a chicken.
So, Kyle, you've seen it. Megan's seen it. I've seen it.
Unfortunately.
Okay, so I'm curious how... Megan, you said before the show that you hadn't really seen the original Mulan.
I've seen the original Mulan. No, I enjoyed the original Mulan. I watched it. I owned it. It was like a movie that I watched on the regular. So it wasn't like I was going into this movie blinded on the fact of how the original movie was. I was just like kind of curious to compare, like, because, you know, Disney takes a story and then they Disney it and then... Yes. That's what they do, like, you know. It's the same way with, like, Cinderella. They took the story of Cinderella, they Disneyed it. It was fantastic, but my favorite version of Cinderella isn't the Disney one. It's a random one that I can never remember the company that made it. But, yeah.
Kyle, did you like the original Disney Mulan? How'd you feel?
I did like the original Disney Mulan. It was good, it was fun, it was insightful. It had a lot of lessons, it was beautifully animated. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It has Jackie Chan singing in Mandarin.
Yes.
Something I'm disappointed. I kind of, you know, who would have been great in this movie? Jackie Chan.
Here, I know you were going to say this stuff. Here we go.
Anyone who could act.
Part of the issue might be as well as I think they did the movie both in English and in Mandarin, but I'm not 100%. I know this movie was like Disney was making with the Chinese market in mind. I loved the original Mulan. I see what they were going with this movie, but for me, I always expect, you know, some tweaks when they do the live action versions of their movies, and I know they want to move away from like the original. One of the issues that I had of it though is that a lot of stuff kept reminding me of the original. I'm like, man, you know what was better? The version they did with the song.
You really wanted a musical, is what you're telling me.
I really wanted a good movie.
Maybe not even, but like my issue was is like the training montage and like them talking about like the kind of girl that they admire and stuff. It was way more entertaining. If you're going to do a training montage, like the whole time in the camp, for me, that's kind of like the highlight of the original movie. And for me, that was kind of the worst part of this movie for me.
The training montage?
Well, no, like their time in the training camp, because that's when they really had character building and stuff. You said before the show, was like, I can't remember any of their names. It's like me, I can't remember any of their other characters. The only reason I know there were different characters-ish is because they kind of, they would say a line that I remembered from one of her, just, you know, characters, like one of the characters within the original. But because they were animated, they were more distinct in their personality, where everyone was just kind of the same. Like I agree with Kyle, where it's the acting wasn't great. It sucked. Most of them, like I couldn't tell you anything about them.
Jet Li was in the
He was probably. He was the Emperor.
Yeah, it was the Emperor.
Sure. Who didn't?
Sure.
Yeah. Jet Li played the Emperor.
So this might be a weird thing to say, but I'm officially starting this theory that anytime Jet Li is an Emperor, the movie will fail. Mummy 3, anyone?
Oh, man. That's sad. We start off the movie where, like, you know, Mulan is in her village and she is a rambunctious young girl. You know, she's energetic. She's a ninja. And she is being told that she has to change the way she carries herself because, you know, she will never be a wife if she doesn't
magic.
Settle down. Yeah.
That's where I checked out right then and there is when she turned into Legolas from The Hobbit and started jumping around.
I'm gonna stop you right there because in Chinese culture, your body and soul and your chi are like very important, okay? And you watch a show called Dragon Ball Z where everyone is like superpowered and they use chi.
Animated cartoon show, not the actual Mulan story where she started casting spirit bombs at people.
There is a live action Disney film where someone is literally like a beast, bro.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you wanted to see a realistic Mulan, give me a realistic Mulan. Like they took out, like, you know, fantastical things from the original, like Mushu, but then they added in the Force.
The Phoenix.
The Force.
And the Phoenix. The Phoenix is just there for some reason. It's like, oh, there's a Phoenix, I guess.
So
this Phoenix keep show, it doesn't do anything. Just is like, hi, and Phoenix. And it's like, hi, Phoenix. You didn't do anything.
Andrew, in ancient Chinese culture, there's a Phoenix that's there. It's sacred to the people or all that. No,
it doesn't factor into the story whatsoever.
At all.
Yes, sir? The Phoenix.
So I'm just going to go on a little bit of a side tangent. The whole thing about Mulan in the animated movie, her sacrifice or disguising herself as a boy was a sacrifice because she couldn't fight. She had to learn. You're saying she's a ninja? That takes away the sacrifice. She can already fight.
And yeah, she does like crazy backflips and like.
So where's her character development?
Oh, she can also slow fall.
Shinobu.
But Rob, yeah, she can actually like control gravity and slow fall to the ground.
Yeah, no.
And kick arrows out of midair.
Yeah, see, Mulan's character development was starting from nothing and growing.
No, this is like Rob, Luke Skywalker starting with his lightsaber.
And Rob,
hold on, Rob. Right. I'm going to stop you right there because the point of this film is you have to be true to who you are.
But you can Mulan still grow as a character.
Yeah, she does grow as a character. She accepts who she actually is at the end of it. Like, that's the whole point.
I'm not just talking about external. I'm talking about, like, do you remember the training montage when Mulan's, like, getting her bucket? But when she finally reaches the top of the tower, how good did that feel in the story?
So in this story, she's not a champion. She is not. She's regressing herself. She is hiding who she actually is. So she struggles along with the rest of everyone because she's not using her chi. She's not being who she truly is. And when she finally gets the freedom to be who she is, then she excels.
There is no logical story reason why she's hiding how good of a fighter she is when she's disguising herself as a boy. Things that what Rob pointed out is because she starts off the best fighter and perfectly amazing, the like a big chunk of the story no longer works, and that is the training scene. Like I said, my favorite part of the original movie was their time in encampment and in training and stuff, because that's when they formed their bond as, you know, soldiers and as friends amongst each other and stuff. With this one, like they have her character so closed off from everyone because she's not. Mulan starts off as the worst in the animated movie. And then she, you know, works hard and, you know, and works harder than everyone else, earns everyone's respect by becoming the best by just trying harder than everyone else. When it's, I have all the power in the world, but I can't show it. Because when I was, you know, presenting as female, I was told not to do that. But now that I'm a boy, for some reason, I'm pretending I can't fight. It impacted the story for me, where like the whole middle of that story was just like I was pretty checked out for it, and it's because that she doesn't improve. She's the best, but she can't tell everyone she's the best until she's can.
See, I've noticed this running trend that kind of is really, really hurting Disney movies, in my opinion, the live action ones. Mm-hmm. They make their female characters perfect from the get-go. Every animated Disney princess and character starts with flaws and improves by the end. Like, let's look at Belle. Belle in the original was super socially awkward. She didn't interact with people. She didn't do anything. But in this one, she's a social butterfly and everyone loves her and they're jealous. And look how smart she is.
Also, Emma Watson can't sing as well as everyone else could sing in that movie. There was... But with Mulan, like, I still think the action scenes were cool. I think, like, that part of it was fun. And there were things that I liked about it. One of the things that I did like for the changes is the avalanche scene. Because in the animated one, she just grabs a firework, fires at the mountain, and then she kills hundreds of people. In this one, she shows her intelligence by, you know, using everyone else's helmets to trick the Huns into thinking their army is flanking from a different side with her just firing arrows behind a rock, and then causes them to use their catapult on the mountain to cause the avalanche, so they become the makers of their own demise. I kind of like this change for it, because it shows, you know, strategy and intelligence and such, and it's the first part of character growth that I actually see in her.
Kyle's currently on Rotten Tomatoes reading some reviews.
She's the chosen one, basically an East Asian Harry Potter, but instead of the boy who lived, she's the girl who lived as a boy for a couple of weeks.
And that's one of the things that's really lost within the story as well, that was within Mulan, was gender bending was a theme that was carried throughout the animated, you know, movie, as Mulan disguised herself as a man to be able to, you know, take her father's place. Part of the climax was that they didn't find out the Hun leader was heading towards the castle and was going to, you know, do this big assassination at the end. They had thought they had won already, and he had, you know, survived the avalanche, and he sneaks in and does it sneakily, and they have to disguise themselves as, you know, as girls to sneak into the palace. And so they have, you know, that flip where it wasn't just, you know, Mulan calling, you know, disguising herself as, you know, a male and presenting male to call upon strength and stuff. They also showed strength within femininity with the boys also doing that's cut out completely. And I'm pretty sure that's done just to appeal for Chinese approval censors.
Wasn't that a big part of this?
Probably. It was made for China. And that's one thing as well. And Megan pointed out, like, they changed all the names, and I can't, if they had characters, I could probably remember their names. I do think it's a good idea they changed Mulan's name, because in the original, it was kind of racist. She was Ping in the original, and it's like, okay, you know what? Making Hua Jun is a better choice.
Hua Jun.
But also the reveal, she just decides to just stop hiding because, like, there's no real event that, you know, that prefaces her taking off her armor and, you know, revealing herself as a woman, because she was able to show that she could still use chi in the training camp just fine. Within the animated movie, she is exposed. It's, you know, after the avalanche, you know, like they find out, and then, you know, that's the big liar revealed moment. But this one, she's like, I can use chi and I'm a woman, because they're like, person who saved us all and such and is our best fighter, no, I guess. But no, also, she was, I am Spartacus. I believe Huan Huan.
So she had to come to terms, and that's what was like her terms with her what? Like reveal. The terms that she was
the most
who
powerful
she is.
Being? That yes. She's kind of God. Oh, I have to come to terms with me just being the best. I guess I'm just the best.
Okay, so there's a character that we didn't touch on quite yet. There's a new character. So instead of the villain being just one singular person, now there are two villains. There is a woman who also has chi, who is like a witch. So they can transform into the hawk that the original the original villain had like Shen, on yeah. their shoulder all the time. And then we had like the male villain who was like the powerhouse. So this woman, she confronts Mulan. She knows who she is. Like, she just can, I guess, like, sense it or whatever. Anyways, and she's like, you will never excel hiding who you are. And there's, like, a lot of tender, there's, like, a later on, like, a tender moment between them where she is, like, confessing kind of how she feels being who she is because she'll never be accepted, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a big thing in this movie is you're not going to be accepted if you act out of turn. And that's what she's doing is she was hiding herself, she was hiding her chi so she wouldn't be acting out of turn. She was trying to blend
in. They never
establish
why it's a big deal that they have chi. Like they it's just a bad thing just because. There is no point in the movie where it's like, hey, Mulan, you're the
Andrew,
best, and this chick can do magic,
Andrew,
and that's bad.
There is no reason why a man can't have chi. Totally yeah, fine for the men to have chi, okay? But the women having chi, you can see it in this hawk girl character, this bird lady. She's vilified for having her chi because she's not supposed to have it. She's acting out of turn.
But they never show her being vilified. She's introduced as a villain, continues to be
a villain.
Suddenly not at the end. She's just, you know what? Maybe not. Like,
she sacrifices herself for Mulan, which was a big character thing for her.
Why?
Because she wanted, because maybe she was like, felt like Mulan was the only person who accepted her. I don't know.
That's the thing is we don't know. That just randomly at the end, she just sacrifices herself. You're like, oh, I guess she turned good at the end just because. It doesn't make, like, there is no point where she actually has any character arc. She's introduced as a villain, does a lot of cool special effects things, which again also makes it like, oh, why couldn't we have Mushu? And then if we have a lady that changes into a hawk or a bunch of little birds and it swoops around a lot and is way more powerful than our actual villain from the last time, but is also Darth Vader. Because Kyle called it out as Star Wars, and 100% I wrote that
it
down.
Is.
Is the chi is treated like kind of like the Force, which is sort it's of the similar Force. Thing, which is fine. Then they go through the the motion of the witch going to Mulan, going, ah, I see you have power to join me, and we will rule the galaxy as father and son. I mean, witch and Mulan.
Mulan's story is literally just Rey. Where she's like a nobody
Rey
from two
at least
random
has a
people.
Personality.
Does she though?
Yes.
Yeah, she's funny. She cracks jokes on a regular basis at least. Like it's you at least see Rey have personality or at least have emotion. You know who never really had any emotion throughout this entire thing?
It's another thing I've noticed in a lot of action movies. And this is, again, just me noticing. Whenever they want to make a female character seem more BA, like, they try and pretty much go, well, she's stoic, so she doesn't show emotion because she's that tough and that... You can be a BAMF and still laugh at things, smile, crack a joke.
Or cry, or, feel vulnerable and, like, have a range of emotions. I didn't grow attached to any character because I didn't see any of them really develop.
There was a moment where one of them, the, like, side characters, her friends or whatever, like, dies in the hallway or fake dies in the hallway behind her. And, like, I was watching that with Vic, and I was like, was that character important? Who is that? And they're like, oh, that's, like, her, like, one of her best friends from the training camp. And I was like,
yeah,
nope.
he was, like, the awkward, soft.
I know who they are only because I watched the animated. I know who they're supposed to be. But if I'm taking it as just how they were presented, honestly, like they were all kind of the same ish. Like they didn't have as distinctive personalities from each other. Like a lot of their moments as well. Like I specifically didn't like when they started quoting a girl worth fighting for, because all that did was remind you, like, man, you know what was a fun moment in the original movie? The song of like their dream girl that they'll be matched with when they're finally done the war and such. It's just kind of a passing conversation that's really awkward in this one.
Mm.
And yeah, you know, like one cheats a little bit one time and is expelled, and that's never followed up upon again.
Because he was expelled. He was just gone.
Yeah.
Later.
I sure wish I knew anything about him so I cared.
And your band.
And I guess
Jesse,
he's gone.
Derek today? No, Derek was banned yesterday. Oh.
Derek.
But at least it makes sense with Jet Li as the emperor, because like the big climax, it was cool, but then there were moments I'm just, what?
Yo, when she kicked an arrow out of the air, like stopped it in the air, spun it around, and kicked it back.
She can use force. I'm okay with I'm okay with epic soccer arrow kick. And I think I'm even okay. I think the scene with them bouncing in the construction site across the wood, I think that was cool. And they also got their Disney fall death. You know, Disney villains fall to their death a lot.
Always.
Yeah, like it's.
Because as far as I can tell, it's the least graphic 100% death debt you could do.
Oh, but he doesn't die right away.
Oh.
Except for Oogie Boogie, who was literally unraveled and then squashed to death.
Yeah, yeah, unraveled and his skin came, you know, undone.
I was trying to think of, like, which Disney characters actually have, like, a body count. And I was like, well, of course there's Mulan. And then I was like, oh my gosh, is Jack Skellington the only other Disney character like with an actual body count?
No, there is very high body count. Game Theory actually has an entire episode dedicated to the most deaths within a Disney movie. And they go through it. Mulan, I think, is like third or fourth. There are a couple movies where...
More of a kill count than Mulan?
Oh, okay. The number one is the one you never remember. Dinosaur has the highest kill count because all the dinosaurs died.
307,143.
Okay, so. That's fair. Because like I'm thinking of like a singular character. Like
there
actually...
was one. I'm trying to remember who it was.
The meteor.
The meteor.
Meteor that ended the dinosaurs.
His name was
the meteor. His name was Dave! Dave the Meteor!
I think it was Atlantis. I think Atlantis has a higher body count. Yeah, so like I said, like with the witch character, it felt like... So they want to introduce another strong female character that would be a mirror to Mulan, but then she also, to me, doesn't feel like she actually has character development. She's introduced as a villain. She's a villain throughout the movie, except when she has a conversation at the end. It's like, you know what? I guess I won't be a villain. It's like,
I mean, sometimes that's okay. All it takes. Like, you know, you ever have like a conversation with someone who maybe changes your mind about how you feel about yourself? Oh. It's the power of friendship.
You know what was lame? Like, changing it to the power of friendship when you have an all-powerful... She essentially leads the army. She's way more powerful. Like, there is no reason for her to feel threatened by anybody, so I don't get why she becomes good. It's like, you know what, I get to be in charge. That's what I was expecting by the end of it, because there's no reason that she just couldn't
like, hey,
be in
you know
by the end.
Mulan's got a point, you know, they're kind of like, you know,
remember when Disney villains were unapologetically evil and they were fun?
Just make her
sometimes
evil.
Sometimes you don't need a complex and deep and moral fighting. You could just have evil. Maleficent was fun until Angelina Jolie tried to make her good. Her name is, it means evil.
I'm sorry,
that one still bugs me.
But I guess it makes sense Jet Li was the emperor, because for some reason he just catches an arrow. Like, old 80-year-old looking man just boop. He's like, damn. How did he get kidnapped in the first place? He just
because he's strong with the force, man.
Yeah, everyone's strong with the force here, the chi.
Everyone's got the force.
The blind guy from Rogue One was in there too.
I think
Donnie Yen.
Yep.
I think it was a big mistake to make Mulan
bad.
Yeah. Well, just like super powerful. It takes out like a big part of her. Like they would have to change more of the story for it to work, which they're free to do. The problem is the new elements they introduced hurt the callback, the animated movie they had. at least how I
something I will say is that we are all a product of our environment until we get out there and we change and we get to have experiences and we accept ourselves. So that's kind of what I took away from this movie.
And you know what? If you are born with super, you know, magical mega powers and you are the best ever, you just keep being the best ever. Be the best. Don't need to grow. Just stop not being the best.
Yep. Yep. That sentence gave me a headache.
You know what would have made this movie slap? If they would have had Stevie Wonder and NSYNC do the... And Eddie Murphy. You know what really would have helped this movie? Eddie Murphy. If you're gonna
and Jackie Chan.
And Jackie Chan. Even the... like the character growth between the captain of her battalion and her, like, they don't have any sort of character chemistry like they did within the animated movie. But then again, that all happens in the camp scene. Because they wreck the camp scene, it affects so much of the character for the rest of the movie. I'm just saying. Disney.
they tricked me.
Campfire scenes can make a movie all the better. Look at the Power Rangers remake. That campfire scene was awesome. Because, you know, to give a hoot about your characters.
Oh, no.
You got to give them characters.
I didn't realize this was a Disney trope because, actually, I'm thinking of Atlantis. The reason I don't like Atlantis is that their entirety of their character growth, it takes place within one campfire scene. Where they all just say, this is who I am, and this is my goal. Next person, and then...
Do they sing the campfire song?
There's no songs within that period.
Hey, Kyle, which is why I don't like that
part of Disney.
Oh, the C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song?
How's it going again?
Oh, the C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. I like SpongeBob.
And, like, Megan, like, I don't want to make you feel bad and stuff, because you are still allowed to like Mulan and stuff and take what you want from it and stuff. As I was saying, a lot of my problems with it also are tainted because I was so attached to that original that a lot of my problems stem from me just comparing it back to what I think it should have been rather than what it was. You were able to take it for more of what it was and you had a better experience with the movie.
I'm just able because, again, like I said, Mulan was a movie that I thoroughly enjoyed when I was younger. Like it wasn't like I had never seen the animated movie. I had watched it plenty. It was one of my favorites, and like I could just, I guess I like both of them as their own separate pieces of a full narrative that I think is really interesting.
I just want Disney to stop doing live action remakes. Other than Jungle Book is the only one that I've enjoyed so far, and I'm that one's at least more of a mixed bag because there are people that don't like it. But with all of the Rob, you named off Maleficent, I agree. I didn't like that one. Beauty and the Beast, like there were things that I liked about it, but in the end, I wouldn't go back to it. I would always go back to the original. And
hey, Disney, just let Jon Favreau do everything.
I'm hoping. I think what might help it is if they go farther away from the story, because just seeing pale imitations of their beautiful animated classics just kind of updated and made dirtier isn't working for me. And dirty isn't Disney. Disney is not dirty. Disney is squeaky clean, and that's part of the fun of Disney.
You know what people never talk about that I kind of want to rewatch? The first live-action remake of The Jungle Book.
Yeah, because that one was closer to the book. I know I had seen it, but I can't remember a thing about it.
It's got a body count.
Oh,
well,
that's what I remember, because I remember renting it as a kid and then going, "Mommy, I'm scared."
The other problem is that Disney also has me at their altar. So I think the next one that comes out is going to be The Little Mermaid, and I'm probably going to watch it still, even though I'm disappointed every time. But I'm like, "Oh, Disney, you know what? I'm going to try again. Oh, Disney, you let me down again." Ooh. But you know what? They made it all better because we're going to manifest Gadget Hack Wrench into our universe and having Andy Samberg and John Mulaney. That's for every problem that Disney creates, they give us something that we can love.
You know, with how popular cottagecore and stuff is right now, they should really do a live action of Snow White.
That's
like,
definitely,
I think that would be fun. It would be like a really fun musical one that they could do. Like, there's so many good singers that they could choose. Like, just pick a Broadway singer at that point.
Snow White and the Huntsman. They did. It sucked.
Oh, yeah. No,
oh,
that,
dang. Never
you
mind.
You know what? It was so...
No, actually, boo!
You know what, Megan? It was so bad, we forgot it existed. And in fact, it was dang. So bad, they kicked Snow White out of its sequel and just called it the Huntsman.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They did, oh, they did no. Kristen Bell in a movie, and she just did fish face for like an hour and a half. Just, oh, whoops. My God. Apple.
Whoopsie. Oh, my God. An apple, though. Edward, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so beautiful. I'm so no eye. And
let me see your Kristen Stewart face. Gotta just show a little bit of your top teeth. Rob's got the idea.
Rob can just edit my icon to look like that.
Yeah, Rob, I'll be the bigger man. You definitely have the better Kristen Stewart face. But on that note, folks, we are going to wrap up the show here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ThunderGeekSpeak, or follow us on other social media on Twitter and Instagram. Kyle and Chris, of course, have been streaming on their respective Twitch pages, twitch.tv/FrozenFire727 or Chris the Tripod. And we've been brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU or around the world at luradio.ca. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Chris.
And we're your Thunder Geeks. We'll see you next week.
When you use a Waramps key tag, you're giving yourself peace of mind, and you're supporting the CHAMP program for child amputees. If you lose your keys, the Waramps can return them to you by courier with the help of your personalized key tag. Key return by courier. It's simple, fast, and it's free. What's more, thanks to your support, child amputees receive the artificial limbs they need to lead active lives. Order your key tags at 1-800-250-3030 or waramps.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Love and strength from the trench next door. This is Varga right here on the Sunday Sal Magundi on CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, around this sphere we call home. However you're coming to us, thanks for being here, and thanks for that thing that you did. You know, that thing you did, or that thing you got to do now, that I thank you for it. Either way,